بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، نحمد ونصلي على رسول الكريم، أما بعد. عن ابن عباس رضي الله عنهما عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال: من عاد مريضا لم يحضره أجله فقال عنده 7 مرات: أسأل الله العظيم رب العرش العظيم أن يشفيك، إلا عافاه الله من ذلك المرض. رواه أبو داود والترمذي، وقال حديث حسن. This concept of self-ruqya, in other words, one is, you are experiencing some discomfort, some pain, some hardship. The previous riwayat, we were taught this means of treating yourself by way of dua and by way of what we may call an incantation, a recitation. Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, just to recap, very, very effective and powerful dua he taught us. He said that place your hand wherever in your body you are experiencing the discomfort. Say Bismillah 3 times and recite 7 times. A'udhu bi'izzatillahi wa qudratihi min sharri ma ajidu wa uhadir. A'udhu bi'izzatillahi wa qudratihi min sharri ma ajidu wa uhadir. I seek protection in the honor and the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the evil of that which I am experiencing and that which I fear. In this riwayat, Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us what to read upon the person that you are visiting. Here also, very, very effective ruqya, or a, like I said, incantation or something to recite when you visit a sick person. How effective? Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that if this person's maut is not ordained, in other words, it's not his time to leave the world, because when it comes to the time of maut, وَلِكُلِّ أُمَّةٍ أَجَلٍ فَإِذَا جَاءَ أَجَلُهُمْ لَا يَسْتَأْخِرُونَ عَنْهُ سَاعَةً وَلَا تَسْتَقْدِمُونَ. Many, many places in the Quran, this concept is reiterated that every person, before you are born, Allah has already ordained and decreed the time of your maut and death. And this is Allah's sunnah from which Allah Ta'ala will never deviate. That when that time comes, then لا يستأخر, no extension will be given to anyone. You won't go before, you won't go after. This is our iman. It's not some illness, it's not an accident, it's not some chance occurrence, it's not you happen to be in the wrong place at the wrong time. Allah has already decided the time of your maut. So Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that if you visit a sick person, لَمْ يَحْضُرْهُ أَجَلُهُ, it's not the time of his maut, then say 7 times. In this hadith, there is no mention about placing your hand on the person, but based on other ahadith, this concept of offering consolation, offering comfort to a sick person by sitting near the head, placing the hand on that person if possible, etc., that is mentioned already. So we can take that as a given. But either way, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, say 7 times, As'alullah al-azim, I ask Allah who is azim. This is one of the sifat, one of the attributes, one of the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the august, the majestic. Like we say in Urdu, azmat wala. As'alullah al-azim. Rabb al-arsh al-azim. Who is the Rabb? And you find this I mentioned previously also. In many of the du'as of shifa that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us, Allah's rububiyat is invoked. Like we see in the previous du'as, Allahumma rabban nas ishfi. O Allah, you are the Rabb of humanity. Grant us shifa. In other words, Allah is, the word Rabb, we normally translate sustainer, nourisher, provider. But deeper meaning, that Allah who from nothing brought you into existence, gave you the shape and form from a drop of sperm. So what is the difficulty for that Allah to remove the sickness? So this is why we find that the rububiyat of Allah Ta'ala in many of the du'as that Rasulullah ﷺ taught us, particularly for the sick, he would always bring this quality of Allah's rububiyat, as we see also in this du'a. As'alullah al-azim, Rabb al-arsh al-azim. I ask Allah, the august, the majestic, who is the Rabb of the majestic throne, the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala tells us in ayat al-kursi, wasi'a kursiyuhu samawati wal-ard. How large is Allah's kursi? This is also something we should bear in mind. When we talk of kursi, straight away our mind goes towards chair, because that is the literal translation of the word kursi. Allah has a kursi, but not like your and my chair. Allah is above all that. We bring iman upon it. That definitely this is a creation of Allah that exists, the kursi of Allah Ta'ala. How large is it? وَسِعَ كُرْسِيُهُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. Allah says, my kursi encompasses the seven heavens and the seven earths. Then above the kursi is Allah's arsh. So the kursi also is a small creation compared to the arsh of Allah. Again, these are concepts that are not literal. For example, the arsh definitely exists. Arsh literal translation is throne. Allah doesn't need a throne to sit on, like we find the conventional monarchs. They have a throne, they sit and they got some crown. Allah is above all that. So these are not literal, but these are creations of Allah Ta'ala upon which we bring iman. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in this dua, he invokes the arsh of Allah Ta'ala also. As'alullah al-azim, Rabb al-arsh al-azim. I ask Allah, the august, the majestic, who is the Rabb, or the owner, or the who is the controller of the great and august arsh, an yashfiyaka. Oh my Allah, cure this person, cure you. Yashfiyaka, may Allah cure you. In other words, you are directly addressing the sick person. He hears your dua. Because you're not going to tell somebody, Allah cure you, if you are not addressing that person. So from this hadith we learn that actually read the dua audibly and address the sick person. That person must know that you are making dua for them. This itself offers a form of consolation and comfort. How effective, how powerful this dua is, Allah's Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, "Afahu Allahu min dhalika al-marad." Definitely, Allah will give him afiyat and Allah will give him cure from the sickness. Obviously, the caveat that was mentioned initially in the hadith is that as long as it is not his time for mort and death. There is one interesting subject matter which ulama ikram, Allama Tabari rahimahullah, great commentators of hadith have raised. Why I say interesting is that it is something that we should keep in mind. Sickness, person becoming sick. Allah's Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, ajaban li amril mu'min. Ajaban li amril mu'min. In other words, he displayed extreme pleasure and astonishment. Like how we'll say in Urdu, kya, kaise ajeeb hai? In English, how surprising, how pleasing is the affair of a believer. Inna amrahu kullahu lahu khair. He said, everything Allah has kept goodness for you. Everything Allah has kept goodness for you. Good conditions come. You make the shukr of Allah. There's goodness for you. Difficulty comes. You become sick. Someone gets hurt, etc. You make sabr. It is goodness for you. So either you are healthy. I'm extending the meaning of this hadith. Either you are healthy or you are sick. From hadith we learn, for a believer, if he reacts correctly to either of the two situations, they are both a source of benefit and khair. Don't complain about sickness. Don't start, why me and not someone else? Don't start saying things that you should not be saying. That I can't take this, I can't bear this. We find that today in the first world countries now they are passing legislation like this. You know what, if the sickness is too unbearable, find one doctor, sign one document, give you some poison, inject it in your vein and die. In other words, they call it self-assisted death. In cases of elderly people, old age homes, etc. They're actually now making it legal in many places, Canada and other countries, UK also, the legislation they are trying to force now, push it through parliament, etc. That this stems from a lack of understanding for a believer. What is sickness? Sickness is mukaffirun lidhunub. It is mukaffirun lidhunub. It is Allah's washing machine. Allah is cleansing you of sins. Allah is raising you in the hereafter. Allah is sending down His rahmat and mercy upon you. Allah is giving you a means to start connecting with Allah Ta'ala. Because the way you will think about Allah, the way you will make dua, the way you will turn to Allah when you are sick, in health you won't do this. So the point, my respected brothers, what we are making is that on the one hand, like we said, sickness is Allah's mercy, purifies from sins, elevates stages. However, the question now arises, if there are so many benefits in sickness, then why make dua for cure? Why? And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Allah's Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, on the one hand, he taught us this. When a man is sick, Allah is washing his sins. Allah is purifying him. Allah is elevating him. In many instances, if he is already forgiven by Allah, he's a pious person, then the least is that sickness now leads to his ranks being raised in the akhirah. So if there's so much of khair and so much of goodness and so much of benefit in sickness, then why make dua for cure? And why seek protection from sickness? Many ahadi, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-ajiz. Ya Allah, I seek protection from you, from weakness, etc. I seek protection from a sudden death due to illness or to some afat or baliyat, etc. So the concept is, why seek dua for health if sickness has so much of khair and benefit in it? The reason, my respected brothers, is that like, based on the hadith which I mentioned just now, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, there is goodness for you in both instances. Even in health also there is goodness for you. In sickness also there is goodness for you. However, insan by nature is weak. You and I are weak. So, rather ask Allah for health rather than sickness. If the sickness had to come, great benefit in it, but don't make dua for it. And when you are sick, make dua for health. Yes, Allah is raising your ranks, etc., but you are weak. What happens if you can't bear that illness? Then you start complaining, etc. Like for example, Allah's Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, one day he passed by one person. This person was making dua for hardship, making dua for sickness, making dua for test and trial and tribulation. For example, Allahumma sabbirni, Allahumma sabbirni, Allahumma sabbirni. What does this mean? Oh Allah, inspire me to make sabr. Now when do you make sabr? When does a person exercise patience? When he is sick or he's going through some difficulty. This man was healthy and making this dua, Allahumma sabbirni. Allah's Rasul became very, very upset. And he addressed this person, Sa'alta Allah al-bala, Sa'alta Allah, are you asking Allah for musibat? Are you asking Allah for difficulty? Qul, say, Atina fi dunya hasana, wa fil akhirati hasana, wa qina adhab an-nar. May Allah, even in health, will elevate you. May Allah, even in health, will send down His blessings. You will earn in akhirat, because when you are sick, make sabr. But when you are healthy, make shukr. This, unfortunately, is one aspect or department which majority of us, to some extent, we understand this concept of sabr, making sabr. But when it comes to shukr, We are severely lacking in this. Now, I'm not saying it. Allah complains in the Quran, وَقَلِيلٌ مِّنْ عِبَادِيَ الشَّكُورِ. Very, very few of my slaves will make shukr. So you are sick? Yes. Allah is washing away your sins. Allah is elevating you. Coming back to this, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam taught this person, don't ask for musibat. Say, Atina fi dunya hasana. Oh Allah, give me good in this world, good in the hereafter, and save me from the azab of Jahannam. So you are sick. Allah is elevating you. Allah is purifying you. But because of your weakness, make dua for shifa and cure. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam taught us this. Somebody was sick, he would make dua that Ya Allah cure this person. Despite the fact of what he was, what he is earning in akhirah. Why? Because even in health, there are many, many spiritual benefits. But the condition, I've run out of time, it's a Sunday, I took extra time in case. We'll continue with this concept. The importance of making shukr also. Not only sabr, the importance of making shukr. Allah give us tawfiq, subhanAllah.